This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And first of all, I want to congratulate you with the blessed month of Ramadan, you and your family, and the whole university and all your students who are in tens of thousands, mashallah. Secondly, I'm glad you made it through the COVID-19, alhamdulillah, you survived it. And you even came stronger, you look healthier, you look younger, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma barik. So let me begin by asking you to share with the viewers. And of course, I have the same experience. But I want you to share with me and with the viewers, how did you feel first when you contracted COVID? The symptoms, how did it feel? And where did it go wrong that you had to go to the hospital and so on?
Well, bismillah, salatu wassalamu rasulillah. It came upon me without even realizing it. You know, I had the initial discomfiture, you know, feeling physically uncomfortable. Then I started to develop fever. I didn't have the cough that people usually speak about. I find myself coughing. So this is why I think that it was COVID. But then it picked up. The fever picked up. I started to get chills, things like this. And my wife saw that the hospital for them to the situation. There, I sweated quite a lot. Actually, I didn't even realize. I mean, I just woke up and just soaking to change my garment. And they did a COVID test. And within 24 hours, the result came. I mean, they were giving me oxygen because I was having some difficulty breathing, or maybe my oxygen levels, you know, my blood was low. And I think they put me on oxygen. And I remember constantly taking off this mask. They're putting the mask on. It just felt so uncomfortable. I felt like I didn't. But they were saying, no, you need it, you know. And next morning, they got the result, and they told me it was COVID. The hospital I was not really prepared for COVID. You know, so at that point, the doctors and the nurses
backed off.
We're not prepared to deal with this.
They were scared themselves.
Yeah, because you know they were not, they hadn't been given proper, you know, PPE, you know, the special garments, and they did have some, but they were not prepared. It wasn't a COVID hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They told me, listen, you go to COVID.
You've got to leave. you know, same thing happened with me and my father when he started feeling terrible. So I rushed him on a wheelchair to the hospital. And right there, the doctor said he's got to be detained. I said, okay, let's detain him, to be admitted to the hospital. We got to keep him. I said, okay, let's do that. He said, but not here. This hospital is not prepared for that. So they have to send us to another hospital. They panicked. They were scared because it's unfortunate that, you know, even though it's been over a year now, but many hospitals and many doctors are not prepared to deal with the COVID patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the information is scanty in third world, you know, and the changing of the
variant,
you know, infection rates and all this. You know, it's just like every day you hear.
Yeah, that's right. So, Dr. Bilal, we want to take advantage of your experience and my experience, which were very bitter, very tough, and share with the viewers that do not take it lightly, not because you've not been infected and you did not contract COVID, and you do not know of a family member who died because of contracting COVID. Until this moment, some people are still believing in the conspiracy theory, and they think it is all business and about making vaccines and selling them and profiting out of that. But there we are. We are live examples. We have contracted COVID. We suffered a great deal up until this moment. We're still suffering 3 months after recovery. I've lost my dearest and my most beloved father to COVID. So this is a reality. Yes, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My mother was on the verge, and it's a serious thing that people should deal with it seriously. So a lot of people are criticizing the rules and regulations which are being followed in different masajid, the physical distancing. They say no need, it's all scam, it's all fake. And they blame it on the imams, on the masjid, on the regimes. They want to do i'tikaf. And guess what? I know of an imam who have observed i'tikaf last Ramadan. And I didn't know that, but I heard he was sick. So when I went to visit him, he said 150 of his students were in i'tikaf in a small place. I said, Sheikh, but this is like, you know, suicide. You know that one person gets infected, he said, overall, throughout the period, we were doing fine. Only the last few days, somebody got infected and all of us got sick. And as a matter of fact, some people lost their lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran totally the opposite. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلِكَةِ. I wish if you can shed some light on that, ya Sheikh Bilal.
Yeah, it's very sad. I hear people all the time, and people are sending me this anti-vaccine, you know, stories on WhatsApp and all this, and fear, and, you know, even just recently, somebody just sent me with the vaccine after with the vaccine, sent the story of an individual. Kenya was a very popular guy. So he got the vaccine, and you know, they recorded it all there. He got the vaccine. So 2 days later, he died. They said, look at that. You know, evidently, don't touch the vaccine. Stay away from it. I said, listen, I already took my you know, of the vaccine already. You know, I'm going with science. You know, all this other stuff. Yeah, you know, these drug companies are going to make money.
Yeah.
Whether in the pandemic, we're outside of the pandemic, they're making money.
Correct. So,
this is reality. But the idea that the whole world would conspire together, you know, doctors, scientists from all over the world agreeing to promote this falsehood. This is nonsense. You know, I mean, it may happen in one place or, you know, a few places, you know, with limited numbers of people. Yeah, okay. It's like people still talk to me, you know, who say they don't believe that the Americans went to the it's all Hollywood. They just made a Hollywood movie and they convinced everybody they went to the moon. Come on, please. You know, this is not thing beyond the scientific ability.
You know, Sheikh, you know, Bilal, you know,
Sheikh's not going to allow America to get ahead of the fake.
Yeah.
It's
taking the lead. You know, the death toll because of COVID in the USA have exceeded 500,000. It's actually 563,000. In the USA, more than any other country ever. and over 31.4 million have contracted COVID. Even though they managed to so far provide over 200 million people with vaccination. So it's
not a joke.
It's not a joke. This is what we're trying to say. And when somebody enters the masjid, is not wearing a mask, and he takes it lightly, and he's not bringing his janamaz or prayer rug, and, well, these regulations are purely Islamic. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said that whenever somebody sneezes, فَلْيُغَطِّي. If you sneeze, then you should cover your nose by your elbow, by your clothes, by your sleeve, by your right hand. Because when you sneeze, the air travels with the speed of 160 kilometers per hour. So it can cover several square meters around you. And if you, God forbid, test positive, but you're not showing any symptoms, all those people around you in the small musalla will contract COVID, and it can be a cause of deteriorating the health of some or even the death of some.
Yes, this is, we are supposed to ask those who know if you don't know. You know, it's not about you, just what comes to your head, rumors, and this is not how we deal with the real world. You know, with the real world, we have specialists in all these different ways. You know, so if you need treatment, or the specialists have studied this matter and given us conclusions and how to deal with it, it's our duty, our responsibility to follow these directions and protect ourselves and protect others from harm.
طيب شيخ يوسف شيخ بلال can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you perfectly.
There are a couple of hadith which only when I was sick I actually imagined them perfectly versus before when I used to teach, when I quoted those hadith so many times. I try to inspire people of taking advantage of life, of health before you getting sick. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, "Igtanim khamsan qabla khams." Seize the opportunity of five things before you are being seized by five calamities. One of them is, "Igtanim sihhataka qabla maradik." Take advantage of being healthy before you fall ill. And when you fall ill, there are a lot of things that you will not be able to do that you used to do or you had a chance to do when you were feeling good. Not only about working and earning your provision and providing for the family, but also we're talking about ibadat, acts of worship, fasting, dhikr. Whenever I was sick, it wasn't easy. I mean, I didn't know how many rak'ah I prayed in any prayer. All my prayers, I lost count. I had to have somebody next to me to tell me how many. I don't know how many sajda, how many rak'ah I prayed. I was totally lost. Like, I was certain I'm not going to make it because I lost my mind. I don't know what I'm doing. And whether I prayed or not, obviously I'm praying while I'm sitting. The pain was enormous. So now I realized, subhanAllah, when I was healthy, I had a chance to pray at night more and more. I had a chance to recite Quran more and more. I had a chance to fast not only Mondays and Thursdays, but other days as well. Whenever the person is sick, especially when he enters into the stage of chronic illness, then all of that is suspended. You will not have a chance to do it anymore. Versus if you were regular in these acts of worship, then you happen to fall ill, then Allah the Almighty will still record the same reward for you, even though you cannot do it anymore. Go ahead.
True. And myself, the same thing, finding myself in a situation where I was only praying in my head. You know, I don't talk to people about this. You know that you can always pray. There's no excuse. As long as your mind is still there, you can still pray. You know, I found myself for the first time in my life, praying, really, you know, going for ruku, for sujood, you know. Yeah, subhanallah. You know, and from there, eventually, okay, I was able to lie in the bed and then lean forward and slightly more, you know, then able to sit there in the bed and starting to stand up. But, you know, going through, get the ability to come back slowly. And actually, even till today, and mine is October, like 6 months ago, you know, I still have that problem of forgetting the rakah. So I have to, you know, I'm praying, I'm doing the first rakah, I think, put my finger like, you know, second rakah, okay, I've got the second, third.
You do like in tawaf, you hold the tasbih, so you count how many rounds. Yeah, that is, I read you, I feel you.
That confusion, not being able to sleep, you know, mind won't shut down for, you know, giving sleeping tablets to just to be able to shut mind down so you can get some rest. It's in our
Wallahi, Sheikh Bilal, sleep is a big ni'mah. Whenever I had my COVID, I couldn't sleep. And if I close my eyes, I see weird things. I cannot explain them. They are neither dreams nor ru'ya nor nothing. I don't know what is this, but it's just worrying me. So subhanallah, the ability of putting your hands together, reciting the mu'awwidhat before going to sleep, Ayatul Kursi, and the last couple of verses of Surah Al-Baqarah is actually a luxury. That whenever you're sick, now I remember the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, when she said that the Messenger of Allah, on regular basis before going to sleep, he will pull his hands together and he will recite the mu'awwidhat twice, and he will blow after every set of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and wipe over his face, his head, his chest, and as far as he can reach of his body. Then she said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was severely ill, I knew how much he used to love to do that. So I used to bring his palms together and I read in them, then I wipe with his own palms over his body. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have gotten to the point where he could not lift his hands to recite whatever he loved to recite. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced something like that. There is a huge difference between somebody who had the habit of doing this, then he's not able anymore, and a person who only wishes that he could have done it in the past. If you can remind myself and the viewers with some of the blessings of Allah upon us to inspire us to recite the adhkar before going to sleep. To remember that when we put our head on the pillow and say Bismillah and we fall asleep, this is such a huge blessing that many people are actually missing. Go ahead, Sheikh.
Well, I would say that, you know, with the COVID and the fear that they create, the uncertainty of what's happening, people are dying around you, the realization that even closing your eyes, whether you awake, open your eyes again, that's it. You know, the closeness of death, even though this is something we experience every time we close our eyes. But at that time, it takes on a different reality. You know, and we should definitely, you know, remember the words which the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say when we are sleeping and when we wake up, in which we submit and turn ourselves over to Allah. Because reality is, every time we close our eyes, we cannot certain you will open them again. This is reality that we live with and we're not conscious of, you know. So I encourage everybody to learn the various du'as which the Prophet ﷺ taught.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Especially in context of sleep and thanking Allah for our good health and thanking Allah for everything that He has given us. Because we can use all of this in the blinking eye.
Now, due to that, whenever I was on the verge of leaving this life, I frequently called my wife and I said, write down. I've already my wasiyah, I have my wasiyah already written, alhamdulillah. The wasiyah, the bequest or the will. But to update it, to do exactly what the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, من كان له شيء يوصي فيه. If a person possesses anything which is valuable, wealth or whatever, then he should not spend two nights without having his wasiyah, his bequest, written and deposited beneath his pillow on a standby position. Actually, it has multiple benefits. One of them, it keeps reminding us, even while we are physically fit, perfectly healthy, young, and we're expecting to live a long life, that it could happen today. It could happen now. Right now, I may go to sleep and I never wake up again. I don't have to have COVID to be anticipating that, but physically fit and people die. The second thing is the importance of making sure that you render the huquq and you do not delay. If you owe any money, if you owe any madhalim, you should settle all of that before it's too late. And some people do not share with their partners their financial status and what they owe and how much money they are saving here or there. So in a situation like that, which we have some narrations where the Messenger of Allah was reported as seeking refuge with Allah against mawtul faj'ah or the sudden death. So there it can happen anytime. Be whom you're leaving behind to manage or to dispense your wealth or to distribute the inheritance if you have any, or to settle your debt. Again, I would appreciate if you can shed some light on that.
I had already embarked on that myself, to be honest, you know, prepared a will, you know, a few years back, and called my elders together and discussed with them the special elements of where they wasiyah and all this. And of course, with COVID, then it meant looking at all of the points, with making sure everybody is understood. Because, you know, you hear this is where people die, then the family members are squabbling, you know, with each other, and fighting over this and fighting over that. Women get excluded, and then the men take wealth and all kind of things. You know, so it is very important that you know, the will be made as long as there is something to share with your inheritors, etc. I mean, if you're just starting life, just got married, etc., you don't have anything. It's in wait with your will. You have something to. But those of us who are there, and we do have some form of health, one way or another, whether savings or property or whatever, then matters should be settled while, you know, and not, we should leave these things behind. And if, especially if there are people who are due to receive wealth because we recognize their right, but it's not officially in our wealth. This is the area for the wasiyah, you know, where we leave behind a special gift for them. We need to secure that. We don't wait until we die and they get cut out because nobody knew about or, you know, perhaps your family members don't particularly like these people or whatever, you know, you have for the rights of which Allah will hold accountable for if you didn't take care of it properly.
Sheikh Bilal, I'm going to be more frank, open, and a little bit of confrontational with the following question. When I was lying down, feeling that everything is upside down around me, and most likely I'm not going to make it, even though I was having husnul dhanni billah and I was praying, but, you know, seeing the whole family being very sick and then losing some family members, then it makes it serious. You feel like, okay, then I'm next, because the lab results is pretty much the same, mine and my father. The ferritin level, the D-dimer, and all of that, it was really, really scary. So what I cared about most was Huda TV. And I called my colleagues and I said, under any circumstances, this is not a one-man show. Huda must continue. Sheikh Ibrahim will present this. Sheikh so-and-so will present that. And the only time I got angry is when I know that the program was blank. They didn't go live today. So I insisted that Huda is not about Muhammad Salah. And I'm just one of the presenters. If I'm gone, it is going to continue, inshallah, and perhaps much better than while I'm present. So I'm going to ask you about your plans in respect of this huge empire that you have built, the International University, and its skeleton. And what would happen if Bilal Phillips is not around?
Alhamdulillah, we have experienced that period of time when I was out with COVID, that the university had by itself. But Alhamdulillah, we have many, you know, board which we meet on a weekly basis and discuss all the issues. There is a president of the university who is also a vice chancellor. There's you know, deputy vice chancellor of administration, academics, you know, there are heads of various departments and sections of the university. So the network of 200 plus people who are working at the university,
Mashallah.
This is an operational, you know, program which is going. I don't involve myself in most of it, you know. In the beginning, it was just myself and my partner, my brother, Samir, you know, from Oman. It was just the two of us. We had a, you know, a brother who was specialist in IT, so just thing with the IT. You know, it started like that. But as we grew, we added more people. People gave them facilities and everything, you know. So it's in place already. The board has told me, listen, we want have your son to be the chat if you go, you know. And you know, I'm fine with that. But you know, I think if there's somebody better suited, you know, let them be in position. I mean, they felt though the Phillips family connection. They were suggesting certain members of my, you know, to take as chancellor, because our chancellor, technically speaking, is supposed to be a ceremonial position.
Yes, yes,
it's supposed
that's right.
To be. But because of the fact that I was the founder, it's more than that. I've been involved in everything from the beginning. So that's just, you could say, an unusual. The reality is that the chancellor would not be involved in these other areas. So it's just mine is unique. If I pass, the person takes over after me, he will be the ceremony.
Ceremony.
You know, the other structure is already functional, handling all the various aspects. I'm constantly involved because I know probably more about the university than anybody else.
Correct.
You know, Samir and myself both know everything from zero. So that gives us a great, what they call institutional, you know. But let me just mention, though, that my situation is slightly different from yours with the COVID, in that my wife was telling me the whole time, oh, you have a mild case. You know, it's okay. So I was, you know, I was thinking, okay, I got this COVID. But, you know, it's a mild case. So it wasn't until really after, you know, I'd been treated and got COVID, and doctors told me, yes, you had severe COVID. I said, what?
Yeah.
Severe COVID.
But
what do you mean?
Dr. Bilal.
True, severe COVID. But my wife, you know, was...
But Dr. Bilal, that's that's going to be a silly question. Which wife? Which one of them?
My wife in Ethiopia, because I caught it in Ethiopia.
Correct.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my wife also had COVID, but hers and my kids were mild. Mine, my parents were severe. So she would tell me the same thing, that you're going to make it. It's just a little bit of headache and fever. You're okay. As a matter of fact, the spiritual support has a great effect in healing. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. So may Allah bless them for playing that role while we are sick. I'm going to postpone talking about the university to another meeting, because I also feel you and the family must be waiting for you, and the samosa is getting cold. I will only tackle one thing so that you can enjoy your samosa and biryani or whatever. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, "Ala kulli sulama fi kulli yawmin sadaqa." You know the hadith very well. And simply the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we owe Allah giving thanks for every little bit of joint in our bodies, which enable us to actually do literally everything, not just pray, live. Without it, you're handicapped and you're paralyzed. So now when we were sick, we realized that we lived this condition. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there is a simple thing you can do, will take care of the gratitude of these multiple blessings. Even though if one prostrated himself all day, all night long, it is not sufficient to give thanks for a single blessing. But I want you to shed some light on this hadith, then inshallah we'll let you go to break your fast.
Well, the realities of giving thanks to Allah, you know, gratitude is the core of faith. Where there is no gratitude, in fact, there is no, you know, the Prophet says that, especially in the, you know, about ajaban libra, the affair of the believers amazing. When good comes to him, he's thankful to Allah, and Allah rewards him. And when difficult times come to him, he's patient and rewards him for it. So between patience and gratitude is faith.
Mm.
It's the foundation, call it the two wings of faith. So the gratitude, you know, I've done a number of, you know, developing an attitude of gratitude. You know, it's essential. And in fact, some of this psychologists, et cetera, have pointed out more recent time the great benefit of that sense of gratitude to our well-being, you know, to our psychology, our psyche, you know. So this feeling on and sense of gratitude, it should be used in all of our being. We should always be thankful to Allah regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in. Because there's always something to be thankful for. You know? And we don't have to wait until we get sick, you know, or we have difficulties, etc. To start to remember and to understand the things that we should be grateful. And for many people who come to me and say, you know, I'm feeling stress, you know, I'm suffering from, you know, feeling of worthlessness. My job is boring and all, complaining about all this. I tell them, listen, you know what you need to do? Sujood shukr.
No.
This is what you need. Get down in that sujood and reflect on the good that is there in your life. This current week, the week before, months before, in your life, all the good that has come to you. If you reflect that, then the senses of depression, you know, start to lift. Because depression is based on you feeling that there is no good in your life.
Mm.
Your life is just a waste. It's useless, not beneficial. You know, you start thinking, better I'm not living. Better I leave this. You know, these kinds of feelings and thoughts, etc., they're from shaitan. You know, You have forgotten your connection to Allah. You have forgotten the blessings of Allah in your life. So, this is a thought I think we all need to take away from this gathering. It's the thought of gratitude.
So you know, we benefit out of this big trial and test, that it brings us closer to the Almighty Allah. It reminds us that life is short and brief, and we should be ready to go at any moment. And it's an eye-opener. It makes us realize that, oh, subhanAllah, we have countless blessings and we're full of shortcomings. We did not even give thanks to a single ni'mah. So inshallah, after we survive this a fatal infection and fatal condition, we should be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we tell those who are healthy and they did not contract COVID at all, alhamdulillah, don't wait till you contract it. Rather, learn from others. Dr. Bilal, it's always a pleasure to be with you. May the Almighty Allah grant you a long life while doing good deeds and benefiting the Ummah. May Allah bless you and your family. And I wish you a happy iftar, you and your family right now, to be continued inshallah in another meeting, and we'll try to bring it a little earlier so that inshallah you can enjoy your iftar with your family. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. My dear viewers, until next time, I leave you all in the care of Allah. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة
الله. مع السلامة يا دكتور بلال. في أمان الله.
لا في أمان الكريم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.